Good morning, everyone. Well, it's great to follow Dan here. He did a great job kind of giving you an overview of what we might have in terms of climate. And so I'm going to give a brief overview of agroclimate, which is our system to convey the information that he was just talking about. It is our view that you can have this information and how do you make it useful to the growers. And that has been the main focus of this project. That it's not only Florida, it's a Southeast Climate Consortium. So we are in five states, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina, North Carolina, looking at this idea. So let's see how this. Before I start, I'd like to show that because I think that in every project we have to have a vision. And in our vision for what we call agroclimate services, I see that you can't just look at the seasonal climate forecasting. There's a bunch of projects now looking at climate change. But in fact, when you go talk to the grower, most of the times they're more interested in what's going to happen next week. So I think that when we talk about agroclimate services, we have to go through the whole spectrum of short-term, near-term, long-term ideas. And work together with research and the producers in a way to make this bridge and really develop solutions that will benefit our growers. Our growers most of the time are really interested in weather monitoring and the short-term forecast. In Florida, we have the Florida Automated Weather Network. It's about 36 stations now. They're primarily in rural areas. They're key for the type of ideas that we explore. I also want to say that I see a big payback in the seasonal climate forecasting, seasonal climate variability. I mean, you can see that we can really change our fertility programs, or we can look at different varieties depending on what we expect for the season. So this is where I see a tremendous opportunity in this kind of work. This is the main page of agroclimate, and as I said before, I'm not going to try to go over the whole system here by no means, but I want to highlight a few things. Dan already mentioned the climate phase that we have now is a neutral one. The forecast for the next 3 months, we always have this in place in an easy way, so you can look and see that for the next 3 months, chances are higher that we're going to move into an El Nino system, which will have implications for us here in the Southeast. They may not have much implications in some other areas of the country, but for us it's important. We have some of the indicators, and I'll talk about this later. And also we have several tools and management ideas that are put together as well. So just this one, highlighting this one, we learned from Dan that there's a possibility for the next 3 months we're going to move into an El Nino. We got to always be careful with those things, but there is a pretty high chance. What we know now is that the difference, the anomalies in the sea surface temperature are not as high as they were a little bit ago, so there is a lower expectation for a strong El Nino. We're probably going to lead into a more sort of a weak El Nino or moderate El Nino situation. When you go to agroclimate, you can see that we get this information from the IRI. And if you click there, just a little bit, you can get this graph in their page, which looks at not only the next 3 months, but the next 12 months. We don't do that because, first of all, this graph is much more complicated to understand. And second, because the confidence on this prediction, as we move, we look to more lead time, it's all certainly weaker. So we do try to stay with the next 3 months, which will correspond to the August, September, October second group of bars. They are showing higher probability for El Nino. El Nino is always characterized by a red color because it's a warmer temperature of the sea surface temperature in the Pacific, which for us it is always confusing, but as in the winter it leads to cooler air temperatures in Florida, but higher ocean temperatures. So and you can see that when you get close to December, January, February of this year, we have a really over 70% chance of having an El Nino system. Okay, we also look at these indicators, and the reason why I want to show this is because we track that, and you can see this first one. Let me go back here because I went too fast. But But you can see we have 2 years there. Basically from June of 2012 up to now, the red colors are El Nino trends, the blue colors going negative sea surface temperature would mean a La Nina, and we haven't had any strong anomaly either way, so we have been in a neutral situation for the last 2 years, and we're now heading to an El Nino, but I want to alert that we had the same situation back in 2012. You can see it went up, and then it started decreasing in the fall, and in fact, in November of 2012, the NOAA dropped what they call the El Nino watch. So we have to be careful there with tracking it all the time so that we know for sure what's coming. MEI is the index we use. It's a more robust one. It does look at not only at sea surface temperature, but some other factors as well as sea level pressure, winds, clouds, etc. The other thing that it's important for us, again, I went too fast, is the NAO. And the reason why is because NAO has been, negative NAOs have been connected to very low temperatures in the wintertime in Florida, and not in Florida, in fact, in the eastern U.S., and positive ones have been somehow connected with above average temperatures. And this, as we went back just 2 years, you don't see much, but I got this from the NOAA site, and you can see that in 2010, we have extreme negative values for NAO, and many of you from Florida will remember that time where we had record low temperature in the state, and it was a tremendous problem, including with excessive use of irrigation for cold protection that led to problems with sinkholes and other issues here in Florida. So the problem with NAO is not predictable beyond 2 weeks. We cannot make a prediction like we do for El Nino. But it means that it also means that it's important to track it, and that's why we do it. We have that in agroclimate. Well, again, some of the tools that we have. Another thing is that we have several tools. So I'm going to just highlight one, climate risk, and what it does, it looks at the climatology for several stations in the five states. And you can see, you can click one station. I just selected one near us here, and you can have some basic information. And when you click in that station, you first thing you can see is the climatology for either rainfall or temperature for that particular station for the current phase, which is a neutral one. So you see the green bars, and you can see the long-term average for rainfall for the different months in this location during neutral years. And you can, of course, change, well, what if it is an El Nino year? How does that change? And sometimes it's more interesting not only to look at the totals, but the deviations. So what Dan showed in a map, we can show now in a particular point with more detail because we're looking at the stations. And you can see, what you see there is that definitely there is more, on average, above average rainfall for the beginning of the year and the end of the year during El Nino years. And this will imply potentially problems with nutrient leaching, issues of replanting, and et cetera. How much time do I have, Lincoln? I just don't want to go 5 minutes. La Nina, you would see the opposite. That's also important. And like Dan was mentioning, this is going to lead to drier conditions. If it's an irrigated crop, strawberries, you're probably going to have warmer, high solar radiation, maybe a better fruit because it's irrigated. But if you're not irrigating, and this is a situation many times with pasture in this state, you're going to see some issues there. You can also track the last 5 years, and basically what you see is what was observed in 2013. How does that compare with a neutral year? So you can see that we're wet in the summer last year, and a little bit below average in the fall, and then it went back a little bit in November and December. This is a way to track. So it's a general information that can help you look at your management and probably make some adjustments. We also have many fact sheets that talk about what we consider, what are the strategies, what are the technologies, what are the practices that might help you to be more climate resilient. That's the focus we have, is that we don't know exactly what's coming. There's a lot of discussion about what are going to be the implications of climate change, not only in Florida, but in everywhere. And if we don't know for sure, maybe we can just take some small steps to be more resilient to this increased variability. And that's what we kind of focus during our in our extension project, regional project that we have. And many of them are related to irrigation. Lincoln contributed with some of this information. And we try to focus this, make it easy. What are the main points of this idea, of this management practice? How can it help you become more resilient? Now, we know that farmers like apps, and we decided that we should do some of work in this area as well, so I'm going to briefly show one of them. It helps them track conditions. This is what we call an agroclimate app. It's available in the for iOS only at this time, but it's going to be in October available for Android systems as well. This, what we're trying to do is to summarize information. It's only available for Florida at this point. It's based on the Florida Weather Network information. And this is for last night. I just looked at some of the information for the same station nearby. But you can also, if you click on that station, you're going to look at the last observation data. You also have, we added a daily summary, so what has happened today so far. You can look at the accumulated rainfall during the last day, 2 days, 3 days. You see in the last 30 days, in this station, we have about 7 inches of rainfall. What's the mean temperature during the last 7, 14, etc. Accumulated growing degree days, those are sort of things that accumulated chill hours, you see there in the bottom. And there you go, 2 hours. And also, I want to point out we start tracking extreme events. Well, what are the number of days we had in this location with T-max greater than 95, smaller than 32, for instance? I mean, that's not going to happen now. But also, what Dan alluded as the high-intensity rainfall, more than 4 inches in a single day, how many events of that type we had. And we're expanding that to, and this can, you can get a notification, you can track that. Now, this is for the station, but you notice that you have some red dots, so you can create your farm. And each farm, you can add fields on that. And this, for instance, this farm, we have just one field. It's a blueberry field. What is the soil type? What is the planting or starting date, if it is a perennial crop? It's rain-fed or irrigated. And once you do that, they start tracking for you since that planting date, accumulated rainfall, or what's the daily mean, the area, which is a measurement of water stress for that particular crop, only available if you're not irrigating it, what is the temperature since you planted, growing degree days accumulated, 2 hours, in this case for blueberries, is important, extreme weather events again. So since you planted, how many days of those different weather events you had. So we're trying to make this information readily available and easy. You also have a satellite image, so you can kind of zoom to your field and look where you are, et cetera, et cetera. So we're trying to be more proactive in providing the information. Given that it's an app, you can have a notification so you can get this information summarized for you every day, once a week, or not at all if you don't want to be bothered with that. The other thing we're doing is all the disease as well. We have an app now that has been just released to look at disease alerts, primarily for strawberry. So this is it. I don't want to take more time, but what I want to just give you a brief overview that we're trying to make this information more available and easier for our growers. And thanks.
Thanks, Bud.